here in Western society, we live in a place and at a time in which almost every burden of manual labor has been reduced greatly or even eliminated. And not only that, but creature comforts abound. Everything from air conditioning to hair conditioning, from fast food to high-speed internet, from indoor plumbing to outdoor grilling, that we can download things instantly on the computer or have instant coffee machines, that we don't even have to write letters out by hand anymore. We can simply just type out a text or an email and send it instantly. Yet despite all of this, it would seem that we still keenly experience life's burdens. It's increasingly clear that serenity is an inside job. Merely improving the outside and amassing creature comforts isn't enough for us. A large fluffy pillow may cushion our bodies, but apparently not our souls. Jesus wants to work on the inside, presents us a teaching in today's gospel on being increasingly freed of our burdens. He doesn't promise a trouble-free life, but that if we will let him go to work in us, with us, that we can grow in freedom and serenity. That Jesus gives us a threefold teaching on how to do this, by filiation, imitation, and simplification. And you start out, at the time, Jesus exclaimed, "I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to little ones." Note how Jesus contrasts the wise and the learned from the little ones. In doing so, Jesus commends us to childlike simplicity before God the Father, before our Heavenly Father, whom he called Abba. Daddy. This is the experience of divine filiation, of being a child of God, of being one of God's little ones. The wise and learned and clever often miss what God is trying to do and say. And because of this, they feel anxious and stressed at times in their lives. It's possible for a person to study a great deal, but if he doesn't pray, he's not going to get very far. That Jesus is trying to reveal here to us, to unveil for us. Because only God can take the veil away. He does so for the simple and humble. And so thus, Jesus commends to our understanding the need for childlike simplicity and prayerful humility. That half our problem in life, and the overwhelming cause of our stress, is that we think too much and pray too little. That we have big brains but small hearts. And so we struggle to understand God instead of just trusting him and his plan for our lives. For though our reasoning, our ability to think, to make choices ourselves is our crowning glory, is what makes us human beings, we must never forget how to be little children in the presence of God the Father, our Father. And no matter how much we think we know, it really isn't that much. And so Jesus' first teaching is filiation, embracing childlike simplicity before God. What does it mean to be childlike? Consider how little children are humble. They're always asking questions. They're always asking why. And they're unashamed to admit that they don't know something. The children are also filled with wonder and awe. They're fascinated by the littlest or the biggest things. I was over with my nephews this past week, and I noticed my 3-year-old nephew had changed a box, a cardboard box, into a car, essentially. And he loved it. Such a simple thing, just a cardboard box. But his imagination, that wonder and awe he has, had turned it into a car. That's what children do. They're fascinated by the world. They know also to depend on their parents, to run to them instinctively when they've been hurt, when there's any sign of trouble. They trust their parents completely. Children are always asking, always seeking and knocking. And so thus, Jesus teaches us that the first step of lessening our burdens is to have a childlike simplicity with God the Father. Wherein we're humbled before him, acknowledging our need for him, our complete dependence upon him. That he teaches us to have the simplicity that is humble enough to admit that we don't know everything. That we still need to learn. Even as adults, we are still learning. Even after 6 years of seminary, I'm still learning about God. Even though I spent all that time studying God. That we have that wonder and awe at everything God has done, is doing in our lives. In the lives of those around us. That we have that instinct to run to God when we're hurt, when we're in trouble. And above all, Jesus teaches us by this image to grow each day in our trust of God the Father. In our confidence that we to ask Him for everything we need. That the Bible says, you have not because you ask not. We need to ask and God will give. That yes, run with childlike simplicity and trust. And so here is that first teaching of Jesus, of letting go of our burdens, to grow in childlike simplicity and trust before God, loving our Father in heaven. And there he continues, come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest, for I am meek and humble of heart. And Jesus commends to us two characteristics of himself, that if we embrace them, they will give us rest and relief from our burdens. But he says he's meek and humble of heart. What does it mean to be meek? Well, if you go and study the ancient philosopher Aristotle, you go and know that he defined meekness as the middle ground between too much anger and not enough. And hence, meekness is those who have authority over their anger in the middle. However, if you go and study the Bible, you realize that when Jesus talks about meekness, he means being poor in spirit. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? It means to be humble, to be dependent on God. And by extension, it means that our treasure on earth is not here. That we don't have treasure here on earth. We're poor to this world. Our treasure is with God and the things waiting for us in heaven. This is the source of serenity for us. For when we become poor to this world, when we have become less obsessed with the success, the power, the possessions, many of our anxieties go away. To be poor in spirit, the wealth of this world is as nothing. You can't steal from a man who has nothing, who doesn't care about what he has. It doesn't matter that a poor man is less anxious because he has less to lose, less at stake. He's free from this world's obsessions and fears and the burdens they generate. Jesus calls us to accept his example, to grow in our experience of being poor in spirit. Jesus also said he's humble of heart. Jesus means someone who is lowly or humble, referring to one who depends upon God rather than himself. So Jesus is inviting us to learn this from him, to receive it as a gift. Only he can do this for us. And if we will learn it from him and receive it, so many of our burdens, so much of our anxiety will be lifted. That we'll see those life burdens lessen. He teaches us to learn from him, to receive the gifts of being poor in spirit and humble of heart. The serenity that comes from embracing these traits of his grows with each day. We're no longer bound by the shackles of the world. The shackles of the world can't intimidate us because its wealth and power do not entice us then. We don't fear their loss. We have that trust in God that will see us through, that will provide for us with everything that we need to do in our lives. That's why Jesus ends then saying, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. The most important word in that sentence is this one, my. Jesus says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Well, first, what is a yoke? Jesus is here referring to the cross. But a yoke is a wooden truss that makes it easier to carry a heavy load by distributing the weight along the wider part of a body. By allowing that weight to be shared by two or more people or animals. Now you can go and think of a woman carrying two buckets of water. instead of having to carry them in her hands, with that yoke, she's able to carry them across her shoulders, with them hanging down from that yoke. Or you can go and think of how it joins those two animals together. You know, two ox or something, so that they can plow, so that they work together in pulling that load. So what is Jesus telling us? Well, it's first, he's telling us that he has a yoke for us. That is, he has a cross for us. He's not saying that there's no burden in following him. There is a cross that he allows for a reason and a season. Is it actually easy? And Jesus, that's how our Bible is translated, though. But if you go into the Greek, you know that there's a better way to translate it. That it means also well-fitting, suitable, useful. Jesus is saying that he has a yoke for us that's suitable for us, that it's well-fitting, that's been carefully chosen for us to be useful for us. That God knows we need some crosses in order to grow in our lives, in our relationship with him. He knows what they are. He also knows what we can bear, what we are ready for. He won't overload us. That yes, his yoke for us is well-fitting. It is useful for our growth. Okay, now to go back to that little word, my. The cross or the yoke that Jesus has for us is well suited and useful for us. The problem comes when we start to add things of our own doing to that weight. And we put weight upon our shoulders that God never put there, that he never intended to be there for us. That we make decisions without asking God. We undertake projects, careers, except promotions, whatever it might be, without ever discerning, without ever asking God, is this what your will in my life is? Is this good for my salvation, for the salvation of my family? That sure enough, before long, our life is complicated, burdensome. We feel pulled in many different directions. But this is not my yoke to which Jesus referred. This is a yoke of our own making. And it's not easy. It's not well-fitted. Jesus didn't make it. We did. That's why we need to simplify. To be very careful about accepting commitments and making big decisions. Of asking God first. That it may be a good thing in and of itself. But maybe not for us in that moment. At that time. That it may help others, but destroy us. We need to seek God's will. Ask advice of others, if necessary. To consider what is going on in our lives. To consider the trade-offs of those decisions. To balance the call to be generous with the call to proper stewardship of our time, talent, and treasure. To have the proper priorities. To always place God first. It's amazing how many people put their career before their vocation. That we need to make sure we're always asking God first. Is this good for my salvation and the salvation of my family? That we have got to ask God. And Jesus tells us to take up his yoke, but only that. To forsake all others, to simplify, to take only his yoke. That if we do that, our burdens will be lighter. That Jesus tells us to come and learn from him. That he will not put heavy burdens on us. He will set our hearts on fire with his love. And then whatever yoke he does have for us will be a pleasure for us to bear, being on fire with his love. What a difference love makes. Love lightens every load. Love makes us capable of carrying the cross God has chosen for us so that we can follow with him to Calvary. And thus, by going through Calvary, we can experience the great joy of the resurrection.